Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Siwe Mavuso, Chief Executive Officer at Business Leadership South Africa. Good morning. A great honor to speak to you. How are you doing today?
Good morning. I'm fine. Thank you. And how are you? And thank you very much for inviting me.
So the news just comes from everywhere. And it's almost, I got the sense that South Africans are keeping an eye on this Transnet strike, but on the fringes, you know, out of their peripheral vision, and not turning to face it and understand what this actually means. Do you get the same impression?
I absolutely do, you know, and maybe it's because it doesn't directly affect us, maybe like load shedding gas, right? Mm. Because when you wake up in the morning and your lights are out, then it's a direct impact, and I think you want to jump up and down about it, you know, and look at how we can actually solve the situation. But I don't think we actually realize, you know, how the Transnet strike is throttling our economy, you know, to the point of no return. It is going to have a dire impact on our fragile economy, and I'm worried that this could be the final nail in the coffin for an already limping South African economy that has been dealt, you know, a severe blow by COVID-19, by the July 2021 unrest, by the KZN flooding, you know, by the fact that a lot of our sectors have not returned to trading to their pre-COVID levels. And in the case of Transnet, you'd remember that they were already not operating optimally. You know, you see a situation where a whole lot of global cargo is bypassing the Durban port, going into Maputo because those ports are more operational, but it costs businesses more because then as soon as your cargo lands there, you need to spend money to bring it back, you know, to South Africa. You know, the mining sector alone is talking about a 50 billion rand loss, you know, so far this year due to Transnet deteriorating performance. We're not even talking about the strike yet. Just their performance not being up to par, Transnet, the mining sector is actually saying that we have lost 50 billion rand, you know, so far, you know, and that is where this is at, you know. So I think, when mining companies are losing so much money, you know, it tells you that this is money that could have actually gone into their pockets, money that could have actually been taxed by government. And we're talking about 27 billion rand tax loss that could have gone to government. You know, you therefore have to ask the question of what this 27 billion rand would have afforded the South African government to do in this environment where they have to pay the 350 unemployment grant, where they actually have to look at how they bring in the basic income grant, where there is so much that is dependent on this already constrained fiscus. You know, it's really a dire situation. And I think, you know, we're having serious conversations as business and government to say that something is going to have to give, and it's going to have to give soon.
And there's no doubt, as you mentioned before, that this industry, the Transnet, has been underperforming for many, many years. The mining industry, as you mentioned, has in many parts on the chrome manganese side moved to using road transport rather than using our rail. We've looked, as you said, at using Maputo rather than local ports. This is a very dire situation. Is the strike, now that if we move on to that, is the strike political, given the fact that there's so much going on internally within the ANC and perhaps destabilization, or is this just a normal part of, in inverted commas, business as usual for Transnet?
Yeah. You know, I'm worried that I don't know if it's political. It might just as well be. I don't have any information to that effect. So, but I look at it and I say that we may have set a dangerous precedent as a country, where you sit with a situation where these unions are demanding ludicrous increases. I mean, the demands that have been placed on Transnet are 13.5% and 12%. I mean, who in South Africa, at least in the last 5 or 7 years, has gotten an increase of 13.5% or 12%? You know, but they continue making these demands. You would remember that they continue to make the same demand, you know, on Eskom. You know, you'd remember that Eskom had to actually settle at 7.6% that they don't have. And when you look at where the SOEs are at the moment, SOEs don't have this money. Transnet and Eskom in particular, you remember that the Zondo Commission spent 80% of their time in the 4 years that they sat on them, because that is how much damage was done to these two institutions. So So never mind the COVID and the July unrest and the KZN flooding. These two institutions in particular and many other SOEs have not recovered from the state capture project because they were used as ground zero for siphoning funds out of the state. So the reason why they are not operating optimally and are failing to deliver that which they were designed to do is precisely because they were ravaged by the state capture project that was actually imposed on them, which hollowed them out. So if you're sitting with these institutions, SOEs, that are actually limping, that in most cases can't even afford to stand on their own 2 feet unless government gives them grants to bail them out to make sure that they are operational, where they are actually not currently even making profits, how does Labour demand 12% or 13% from that? It doesn't make sense. You know, you'd remember that back in 2020, Labour did the same thing on SAA. You know, when we already knew that SAA is in a dire situation, they cannot do anything without government bailout, they demanded an 8% increase. Shortly after they actually demanded that 8% increase and they were given it, you know, the SAA went into business rescue. Mm. You know, and you're talking, you're sitting in an environment now where you don't have an SAA. So how long is this piece of string? At what point as a country are we going to have a conversation with Labour leadership where we are actually saying that we all have an obligation to put something on the table? We are currently seized with the social compact discussions where business is looking at what do we have to give to ensure that we turn our economy around. What is government going to have to give to make sure that we turn our economy around? But when you look at what Labour is putting on the table, not much. You know, the only time you hear from them is when they make this ludicrous demand. You never hear them talking about how do we intervene to ensure that we bring back the Transnet operations to optimal levels so that we don't have to have business bypassing it going into Mozambique. Because then if you invest in making sure that Transnet operates the way it should, then maybe you will be excused for coming back and demanding a 13% increase, because at least you are intervening and you are providing the solution of how you actually assist the entity. So for me, I think it's just Labour doing what it has always done, and no one is calling it out. You know, government is not going to call it out because they are in a tripartite alliance, because they are worried that if they call
them
out,
they are not nice to them. They can't afford to.
They are going
to
lose both. You know, but this is not the time for that. You know, because this is economic sabotage that Labour is currently placing the economy on.
Is it, so it goes back to the question, is there just a complete disconnect here? Or is this just Labour entrenching themselves in an old position that they're refusing to move away from? Because surely they would look at it and say, well, if Transnet doesn't survive this, and perhaps it won't, then look at the number of people who we are responsible for who are now losing their livelihood. Surely,
absolutely. You know, you would think that that should be the thinking, right?
I would think, yeah.
Right, and it never comes from Labour. You know, and it's very funny because they're talking about, you know, our employees are actually bearing the brunt of this tough economic climate that we're subjected to. But you look at it and you say, who is not impacted by what is going on in the economy? I think you would be aware that the IMF is currently sitting in Washington, D.C., and if you look at the reports that came out from them yesterday, was it the day before, they are saying to world leaders, the worst is yet to come. They are saying more than a third of the global economy is headed for contraction this year. They are saying apart from during the global financial crisis, the global growth profile at the moment is at its weakest since 2001. They are saying slowdowns and contractions are being experienced by the world's biggest economies, US, EU, and China. And they are saying the key factor behind this slowdown is precisely, you know, the monetary policy, you know, and central banks around the world trying to actually deal with restoring the price stability, you know, which is the issue of inflation. So when they're talking about inflation rising, well, the entire world is seized with the same issue. But you don't see these other countries imposing economic sabotages on their economy. So what makes them think that what is being called upon them to do now is not to sabotage the economy, but rather to sit around the table alongside business and government to look at what interventions and what solutions as leaders do we actually have to put in place to ensure that when this worst global growth profile, as the IMF says, you know, when all is said and done, we still have an economy to salvage. Because at this rate, when they actually continue doing what they are doing in an economy that is already hanging by the skin of its teeth, you know, we won't have an economy to salvage, you know, when all of this is said and done. So not only labor is being subjected to this current tough economic climate, businesses will tell you that they are not earning the revenues that they used to earn. Government will tell you that their tax revenues have actually declined. So what makes them think that they are a special case? Because they are not. We are all part of the same economy and we are all bearing the brunt.